amazing job. Gosh, he loves praising God, the author and finisher of our faith this morning. Hey, see this cross here? It's the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, that died and rose again. Amen. So this morning we're going to go on a journey, and today I want to talk about the relationship between surrender and the cross. Because you've got to surrender to the cross. You've got to surrender to Jesus. This is part and parcel of the deal, right? You can't be a Christian without surrender. You can be a Christian and submit, but submission is different to surrender. Submission is very different to surrender. And I'll come back to that in a moment. At the core of all of humanity, the greatest thing that they want to do is to have hope. Do you know that? They want to have hope. I look in the world today, across every area, they want hope. People want hope. You know, in Sydney yesterday, 8 people died because somebody didn't have hope in their life and they wanted to take it from somebody else. It is a tragic, tragic, tragic state of affairs that someone with so little hope, that dislikes themselves so much, wants to go and take the life of somebody else. And it's because they don't have the great author and finisher of their faith. They have no connection with the cross. They have no relationship with Jesus. They have no hope. So hope is such an incredible thing this morning. It brings life. It brings life more abundant. And the worst thing that any of us can ever do is have one foot in hope and one foot in the world. Because it waters down. It waters down your faith. It waters down your relationship. It waters down your covenant with Christ. Has anyone ever drunk some cordial that's too weak? I'm glad I finished that sentence right. Has anyone ever drunk? Don't answer that. Has anyone ever drunk some cordial that's too weak? And you're like, you know what? It should taste good. It looks all right. But it's just not doing it for me. There's not enough sugar in it. That's true, right? And you're just like, I'll chug it down, but it's not what I was looking for. For me, that's a Christian with one foot in the world and one foot at the cross. It's a bit like, I love doing church, I love connecting with people, I love talking about Jesus, but I don't like surrendering to have relationship with him. Because it makes me too vulnerable. Because vulnerability, you've got to be vulnerable to meet Christ. You've got to be in the place where we are vulnerable enough to find Jesus. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, let me ask you a question. What are you hoping for today? Where are your eyes this morning? Are you looking at the storm? Are you looking at the circumstance? Or are your eyes firmly founded in the hope of Jesus Christ? No matter what's going on in your world, you stand there and go, you want Jesus Christ? I know what's going on, but you are my hope. You are my grace. You are my worth. You are my worthy. You're all that I need. It's incredible, right? Where are your eyes this morning? What's going on? Who's ever had a word spoken over them? Give me a show of hands. Come on. If someone has spoken a word, if the Holy Spirit has spoken over your life, I want you to grab hold of that right now. I want you to remember that right now. And I want you to stand and imagine that. It was already come to pass. This is where our hope is. It's already come to pass. Father God, I'm not looking at the storm. I'm not looking at the circumstances. Challenges are challenged right now. But I'm holding on to the hope, the covenant, the promise that you've given me. I don't know what that is. I don't know what's going on. But no matter what happens in that circumstance, Jesus is the answer. My eyes must stay fixed on the cross. My eyes must stay fixed at the eternal hope that Jesus gave you and I, that you and I accepted. We accepted a covenant, right? This is our great hope, our hope for an eternity with him. This is an exciting message. Because we have a destination beyond this world that isn't in a fiery pit of hell. That's worth getting excited about. I'll tell you where I'd rather be. What's that saying? I'd rather, you know Jesus this side of death, then answer to him that side of death? That's a tough one. Hope is the anchor of our faith, and everything that we have, we orbit around the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, every message we preach, everything that we stand for orbits around the life, the death, and the resurrection, because this is our great hope. Jesus is our great hope. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our great hope. Life without hope isn't life. Life without hope is depression. Life without hope is hopelessness. Life without hope is a lack of vision. Life without hope is a lack of destiny. Life without hope is a lack of purpose. We see people every single day without purpose, without destiny, in depression, struggling through their circumstance. And you have the light of Jesus Christ within you. And let me tell you, church, if someone that comes into your world, take that as a call that God wants you to speak life and hope into them, because you've got the words of life dwelling within you. You've got the words of light dwelling within you. And you take that word and you start to speak it into someone's life. It is so important to them. You never know. Could you imagine if someone got in the pathway of that guy who stabbed 8 people yesterday and said, Jesus is your answer. Jesus is the hope. You don't need to do this. You don't need to walk down here. Let me provide you an answer that is going to save you. And not only did he lose his life, but 8 others who may not have known Christ lost their lives as well, which is terrible. You've got the answer. You've got the light of the world. You've got the hope that dwells within you, because Jesus is our great hope. We entered into a covenant with Jesus Christ the moment we said, you are my Lord and Savior. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. How exciting is that? That we never need. We're going to go through challenges. But you don't go into a tunnel that doesn't have an exit on the other side. We go into a tunnel that's got a great light at the end of it. We go into a tunnel and it might be dark all around, but there's a great light at the end of it. And it's not a train coming the other way. It's the light of Christ. I know that everything that in my world that's had challenges around it, that I've really struggled through, my challenge has always been in self and not in Jesus. And the minute I've gone to Jesus, the challenges go away. Because the answer's in the Word. The answer's in the Word. I've got 2 scriptures that we're going to talk around today. The 2 main scriptures is Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast to the confessions of our hope. I want you to underline, bold, highlight, full stop, in red, in italic, that in your brain. What are the confessions of your hope this morning? Without wavering, because he who has promised is faithful. Can we say that together? He who has promised is faithful. We're not faithful because we take our eyes off the answer. But he who has promised these things to you, if God's made a promise to you in the great covenant that he is faithful to you. You have the great hope within you. This is something to be excited about, church. The second scripture I'm going to talk about today is this. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Do we believe that this morning? Is today the day the Lord has made? Sometimes tough to rejoice, right? Sometimes tough. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to rejoice without the great confessions of our hope. I believe mountains are still being moved this morning. I do. I 100% do. I believe strongholds are being broken this morning. I'm not going to start singing, but I believe these things. I believe mountains are being moved this morning, church. Is anyone with me? Who needs a mountain moved this morning? Look to the cross. Who needs a stronghold broken this morning? The cross is the answer, church. You're not the answer. But what lies within you is, and it comes through the confessions of your great hope. And we can rejoice and be glad in the fact that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. As John said this morning, you just need to be patient in the waiting. You need to be patient in the waiting. I love that scripture. It's something that I've always remembered in my life, that a heart without hope is sorrow. But we have hope. We have hope this morning, church. It doesn't matter how dark your world gets, we have hope. So the title of my message is 2 square meters. 2 square meters. Yep, that's it. Hopefully it's spelt right. And in this message, I want to really focus on the right evolution of our identity. Because, you know, 15 years ago, I walked in those doors. I was 40 years old and I had hair. Does anyone still remember that I had hair? Anyone in this room still? I think there's one or two hair. My wife does. That means that you've all come since then. 15 years. I had hair. I was the most beautiful man in the world. That's a quote from Fabio. My kids still needed me for something other than money. Right? There were no electric vehicles. There was no TikTok, no AR, no VR, and only 2 genders. A lot can happen in 15 years. But you know what hasn't changed? My great hope. You know what hasn't changed? My great hope. In the midst of all these things that keep coming around my world, my great hope's never changed. It's been shaken sometimes. I've been on one foot sometimes. I've had to bring my heart into check and in surrender sometimes. But I tell you what's never changed is my great hope. And let me tell you this, that the world will never, never take that from me. Yes. They'll take my life before they take my freedom. Was that a quote out of Braveheart? That was completely unscripted, let me just say. That's the truth. Because if your hope's not anchored in Christ, you will give your life to it. Your life will be taken and eaten up by this world. Almost everything is outside of Christ. You know, today we live in a very different world. 15 years on, society has undergone such a transformation. I saw something on TV the other day. There were 3 buildings in America in 1956. They had the cross, you know, all the lights lit up on the building in the shape of the cross. Those same 3 buildings last year had, you know, the gay pride colours on them. And my heart sank. I genuinely just stepped and went, oh my gosh, Lord. But you are the great hope. Come on. Here's the great hope in who we are. Their luck can change in 15 years. You know, it demands your total attention. This society wants your total attention. Today's society seeks to evolve, or rather devolve, your identity unto destruction. It wants to consume every part of you. Our streets, our homes, our workplaces are filled with an antichrist spirit. That is the truth. You carry the great hope. You carry the great light. Can I just say this morning, church, this is an exciting place to be. We're in an exciting time. You know what? You can't get fit by not going to the gym. You've got to exercise your hope. You want to get strong and have a foundation in Christ, you've got to exercise that thing. Because the world will come and knock you off your haunches. He will. If you choose to let go of hope in a storm, because hope is a choice, can I just say? You can choose to navel gaze. Jesus doesn't change. Your attitude towards it changes. Jesus says, I am your great hope. I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. I have come so that you might be saved. That's his covenant with us. And we accept that covenant. He doesn't change. But sometimes circumstance grabs a hold of you and you start to focus on the wrong things. And if you let a thorn get in your heart, that thorn will fester. It'll start to grow and it'll rob you of everything. You'll profess to be a Christian, but you'll be a faithless Christian. You'll profess circumstance. You'll start speaking negativity. You'll start speaking as the world would speak around circumstances instead of going, Jesus, you're my great hope. These 2 square meters right here, you're my great hope. All I need to do is keep my eyes on this cross. All I need to do is keep my eyes on you, Jesus. And if I step outside of that 2 square meters, if I allow my attitudes, if I allow my faith, if I allow my challenges to step outside of those 2 square meters, I'm giving myself to the world. If I start speaking death, if I start speaking negativity, if I start speaking challenge around my circumstance, I'm outside of those 2 square meters that save my life. Because this is my life. This is my life that I surrender. I can only surrender here. I can't surrender anywhere else. If I surrender somewhere else, I'm surrendering to something else which isn't of Christ, which is going to rob who I am. Are you with me this morning, church? This is a great, great, great place to be. I love Jesus. I love that we can come to him and surrender and surrender and submit and submit and submit. You know, you can never submit without surrender. Kings have conquered armies. And those armies, they'll surrender, but they won't submit in their heart. Don't be just a submitter to the cross. Be a surrenderer. Don't be just a submitter and go, you know what, God, I'm not giving it up to you. Don't waste that time. You don't have that time. You don't have time to hang on to these things. The world needs you. Someone in your life needs you. Someone in your family group needs you. Someone in your friend group needs you to surrender. You know, we sing, God, fill me with glory, fill me with power. Yours is all this stuff. We sing. But you know what you need to be filled with? God's power, God's glory. You need a heart of surrender. Because the more you give, the more you can be filled. You cannot fill a full jug. You got to keep pouring it out. You got to keep pouring it out. Pouring it out. You've got to surrender. There's a big difference. Pastor Tim, anyone could ask me to do something, and I'll go, I'll do it. What's going on here? I'll do it because I love Christ. I'll do it because I'm serving Jesus. I do it because if God has positioned me, if he has planted me and he has called me and I have the skills to do it and I have the heart to do it and I believe that Jesus is my great hope, then I will do it because I serve the risen King. Because one day from now, someone might get saved in a room somewhere that I built that I will never know, that I will never see, that I will never meet because of the ministry of Braden and Jess or somebody else. Praise God. I will give it. I will give it. I will give it all day, every day. Because my heart surrendered to the freedom of Jesus. So when you choose to submit rather than surrender, you'll find it really tough to rejoice and be glad in today. Because submission holds your heart captive. Submission holds your heart captive. Surrender brings freedom. Do it. Do it with a smile. Do it. Do it. If you got it to give, give. And give it. Whether it be a skill, a talent, a gift, money, whatever it is. Just do it. Be free here in this 2 square meters. Live free. Live free. Who's got some challenges this morning? Come on. We can be vulnerable here. We got challenges in our world. I choose to live free at the foot of the cross. This is my choice. Jesus opens this door. He tore the curtain. He said, come in. Live free with me here. Let my blood and my covenant allow you to live free. Don't step outside that 2 square meters. That's foolish behavior. I want you to ask yourself some questions this morning. And these questions will define simple truth for you. What do I allow to enter my heart? Question number one. What do I allow to enter my heart? What captures my imagination? What's taking my thinking? Is it big vision? Is it big thinking? Is it, Jesus, you are the answer, you are the cross, I'm going to surrender to you? Or is it the circumstance? Is that taking your vision? Is that capturing your imagination? What voices am I listening to? What do I lend my ear to? What's bringing bondage around my heart? Or what's bringing freedom around my heart? What am I lending my ear to? And what's the confession of my mouth? Because our great hope is in our confession, right? We will bind ourselves up, or we will bring freedom based on our great confession. I know this, that the voice that bends your ear is the voice that you lean into. And the voice that will shape your heart, whatever shapes your heart will shape your thinking, it'll shape your truth, and it'll shape your covenant. What are you allowing to shape your thinking, your language, your input? What are you allowing to do that? Is it the Word of God? Is it the voice of wise Christians around you? Or is it the voice of the world? The voice of a friend who's in the world? Is it the voice of the television? The voice of Facebook? The voice of Insta-famous? Is it the voice of someone other than the two genders in your world? What's shaping those things? What are you lending your ears to? What are you listening to? Is it something that's edifying you and drawing you closer to this place that where you can just stay rock solid in freedom? Or is it something that's drawing you out from here? Because Jesus is our great hope. There's nothing else that's our great hope. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Often people, when they have hope, they see things not as they are because their vision is distorted. Their vision, they can't see straight because their heart's wrong. I know this firsthand. I know it. I know it. And no doubt many of you do too. When your heart gets out of shape, your thinking gets out of shape. Your language gets out of shape. Your attitudes get out of shape. And all of a sudden, you're outside of those 2 precious square meters. If I'm a hope-filled person, I think the very best of people. I hope for the great things in them. I hope that they make the right decisions. I pray for them about those decisions. I stand in the gap and in faith for them in those decisions, right? Hey, come on, I'll get around them and say, come on, this is not who you are. This is not the great hope in our world. Come on, Jesus is our great hope. Why are you talking like that right now? Because a hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? We can fill people with hope. You carry hope. You carry light. You carry life. Yeah. Who loves being encouraged this morning? Who loves being encouraged by the Word? Amen. I love being encouraged by the Word because the Word says this, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You know what the world says? You're not good enough. You are the apple of your Father's eye. You know what the world says? You're a rotten apple. You know what the Word of God says? That no weapon formed against you can prosper. The world says that you're weak. You need to fight and be bigger, be a bigger monster than the guy next to you. And that's just not where we find our freedom. It's not. It's not. The fundamental difference between a contract and a covenant is this. A covenant, right, is infinite. This ring on my finger, it represents a covenant I had with my wife. It's infinite. There is no separation here. The covenant that I made with Jesus Christ when I gave my life to serve him is infinite. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you can leave him and you can forsake him. You can step out of these 2 square meters and you can leave. And you start searching your own answers and looking for your own answers. But they're not there. You might find answers, but they're not the right answers. Now I'm going to probably offend a few people this morning. Is there any coffee aficionados in here? Hayden, put your hand up. Gareth, put your hand up. Come, I don't know. Is anyone else? Come on. There's some snobs. John, put, yeah, great. Great. Now, if you invite a coffee aficionado to coffee, don't take them to 7-Eleven. I've made this mistake. Or McDonald's. The look on their face is like, you might as well just spit in my mouth. Like, seriously. It's the wrong move. But see, it's, everyone in this room is excluded. They make it about coffee, not about the connection. They make it about the thing, the substance, the storm, the challenge, whatever it is, but not about why I'm here, the relationship. To me, it's just coffee. I'll drink it anyway, right? Like, you know, I'll eat things off the floor. It's the same. It's just 3-second rule, right? I'm just like, come on, Dave, back me up here. Hey, I was a carpenter for a long time. I had a lot of things off the floor, and just being honest. Don't take your eyes off the intent and the purpose of what we're doing. Don't make church about being in church. Make it about Jesus. Don't make your relationships with people about your relationship with people. They're important, but your relationship with people has got to be God-honoring. God's got to be in the center of your situation, in the center of your circumstance, because otherwise you step out of your freedoms. If someone starts gossiping, talking smack about the church, pull them up and go, hey, stop right here. Stop right here. That's not who we are. That's not what we stand for. All this here exists to bring honor and glory to God. You cannot stand in this church and sing these songs that we sing and go out there and talk smack. Because that tells me you're about coffee. Right? You're all about the coffee, not about the conversation, not about the covenant. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, then the opposite of faith is giving up on the promise, on the covenant promise. I'm going to move on. You know what? My salvation, my marriage, my family, they're all covenant promises. My salvation is a covenant promise. And you know what? Can you put that picture up? This is my freedom. Right here. This is my freedom. This is my freedom. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you are my defender, my deliverer. Father God, I thank you. You are my strong house, Father God. You are my cornerstone, my God. Lord, you are my answer in the storm, Father God. You are the light that I am drawn to, Father God. You are my freedom. You are my freedom. You are my freedom. You are my freedom. Every day I have my eyes on this freedom. I can't see the storm. The storm doesn't bother me. Let me tell you something. Peter only started to drown when he took his eyes off Jesus and recognized the storm. Jesus is like, what are you doing? And there's an illustration here. It's easy to do. It's easy to take your eyes from here to the storm. But let me tell you something about storms. They pass. Storms pass. Storms come and they're wild, right? And it's a wild ride and they're tough. But they come and they go. You know what doesn't move? The earth. The thing that we're anchored to. If you built your house upon a rock, it will stand. If you build your house on something else, and I'm an expert in this, trust me, it will fail. It will fail every single time. You see cracks up the side of buildings, the foundation was never built to support the load, the government that was going to sit on top of it. You need to build your foundation to support the calling that's in your life. You need to build into the foundation that is Jesus Christ. You need to build and expand and extend the foundation that God has for your life. Can you give God an amen this morning? If God has given you a promise, it is your foundation. It is your covenant. Build into it. Declare it over your life. You know what? I've got a son who is so far away from God right now. It's amazing. But I remember him. You know, God said to me that you and your house will be saved. And I stand on this promise. I stand right here, right at the foot of the cross. And I say, you know what, God? I cannot wait. I do not let the circumstance rock the foundation that I am built on. I cannot wait until his mess not just becomes his message, but it becomes his ministry. And I stand and hold in that hope because God placed within me a vision of him standing right here with every one of you standing around him praying over him. And I hold on to that. I hold on to it. And let me tell you something, church. I'll tell you this for free. Every single one of your circumstances, every mess that you have, I don't want God to turn it into a message. I want God to turn it into a ministry that you can go into the world and you can preach the gospel because you are called to make disciples of each and every one of us. Every single mess that you have, do not look at that mess. Look at the great ministry that God is calling you to. Don't turn it into your message. Let it be the message be part of your journey where you can sit with somebody. And say, you know what, you know what, you know what? I've sat with drug addicts. I've sat with people with lots of challenges. And said, you know what? I hear. I don't understand what you're going through. But let me tell you, the answer is in this 2 square meters right here at the foot of the cross where grace and mercy meet. Where he is your stronghold, where he is your fortress, where he is your deliverer, where he is your defender, that he is the apple of your father's eye, where you have freedom. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. Jesus isn't some weakling that we pray to. I stand there and I imagine the host of angels standing behind our risen Lord, ready for battle, ready for war. And the devil tries to bring these things to our thinking and to our imagination. And I stand there and go, have at it. Have at it. Because my God is bigger than your challenge. My God who died and he rose again. And we rose in resurrection with him. That we entered into covenant with him. Right here I am free. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So have at it. Have at it. But my foundation needs to be in him. My foundation needs to be in him. Having some courage is exciting. But being anchored is life-changing. Being anchored in the great hope that we have is life-changing. Having courage is good. The devil will test your courage. I cannot wait to hear the revelation and the responses that your mess, the mess around people's lives, has turned into their ministry. This is a great hope that I have in Jesus, and I love that. I love that look beyond the challenge. Can we do that this morning? Is Jesus bigger than your circumstance? Is Jesus walking in the midst of your storm right now? What's the language of your heart? What's the language of your mind? What's the language of your mouth? What's the confession of your great hope? Can you stand today and say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war. Are we going to war this morning, church? I don't need to worry. You don't need to worry, because we have our great hope and a host of heaven's angels behind you. Come on, this is exciting. This is a great place to be. What did Paul say? Paul said, I welcome, I revel in challenge because it strengthens the foundation of which my great hope is in. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's a great position to be, right? So we can have hope that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because we have hope. I love this. John 8:36 says this, therefore the Son of Man makes you free. You shall be free indeed. Don't surrender your freedom. Don't give up in freedom what others died for in wartime. Don't give it up. Stand and fight. We're at war with the world. We're at war with the Antichrist spirit that's in this world. Don't give it up. Stand and fight. Stand and fight. Stand at the cross. Stand at the foot of the cross. And stand your ground. Stand in your freedom. Don't let words and languages of others come and steal and rob and take your thinking to a place where it shouldn't be. The only answer you need is in the Word of God. And in a surrendered heart. That's it. Build the foundation of your faith. Build it. Build into it. Dig deep. Dig deep. Build deep foundations. Study the Word. Petition God. Petition God. Petition God for your circumstance. Then stand in hope and look to the future and look at that thing as it's already answered. Then you won't be washed and waved aside. You won't be pushed around by the waves. You won't wake up and say, Lord, Lord, we're going to die. You'll just go, hey, I'm in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. It's all good. We're all good. We're safe. You ever been in an accident and you're like, I'm good, right? It's still the accident. It still happened, but you're good. That's Jesus. That's Jesus in your life. 2 Timothy 1 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Say it with me, church, come on. But a power of love and a sound mind. If my great hope is in Jesus, fear has no place in my covenant. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of love, power, and a sound mind. Sound mind. I've been a bit crazy from time to time, but I've come back to the great living hope that is in Jesus Christ. And that's where I find my peace. It's where my freedom lives. And finally, hold fast to the confessions of your hope. The confessions of your hope, church. What are the confessions of your hope? What are the confessions of your circumstance at school? If someone's challenging you at school and you're a bully, pray for them. When they come to you, go, Jesus loves you. Do you know that? Get punched in the face, then say, Jesus loves you again. Because this is what we stand for. What are the confessions of your faith? I'm going to close now. Let me close with this. In the Bible, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, right? It did. But then it ended. The storm ended. And we lived in freedom because of it. It paved the way for Jesus to come so we can have freedom in the covenant that we have. Covenants are infinite. Contracts are finite. They have a start and a finish. Don't let your relationship with Jesus be a contract. Your relationship with Jesus is a covenant. It's washed in blood. It's paid in blood. And you are free. And who the Son has set free is free. Only you can remove the freedom that you have been freely given. Only you can do that. Finally, as the musicians come, Isaiah says this, Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Fear not, for I am with you. I am with you, says the Lord. Church, step in. Step in. Stay in. The 2 square meters that paid for your freedom. Paid for your freedom right here at the foot of the cross. This is my place. No one can take this from me. No one can take this from me. This is where I'm worthy. This is where I'm whole. This is where my worth is. This is where my value is. This is where my identity lives. This is where my freedom lives. It doesn't matter what happens to me. No one can take this from me. Isn't that beautiful? Covenant blood. Covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. Covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. Covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. That we can be free. We can live free. We can just surrender our heart to you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I surrender everything that's not of you right now at the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, I surrender every attitude right now at the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, I surrender every challenge in my world at the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I surrender to the covenant that you paid for, Lord Jesus.